It's called Walking with God. Turn in your Bibles over here to Ephesians. Let's go over here to Ephesians 2.
You're listening to Chapter and Verse, the teaching ministry of Mule Shoe Fellowship with Steve Friscup. This message was recorded on May 21st, 2025, and is titled, Man's Church or God's? So grab your Bible and let's join Steve and the message.
Let's see, Ephesians 2 is right between Ephesians 1 and 3. Y'all good with that? Okay, right over here in verse 19. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Not the house of God. I mean, that's one of them old things that people just say, and why? Because other people have been saying it. Welcome to the house of God. Well, if you knew the whole history, you might question some of that. It's not about a building built by human hands. God said he doesn't dwell there. But what about the household of God? What about your father's house? Are you a member of that? You see, if you're a member of the household, then handing over the keys ain't that big a deal. When you were a kid, can you remember the first time that your mom and dad left you home by yourself? Did they give you the keys? They're not going to give the keys to a stranger, but they'll give them to the household. But next thing you know, we're all gathered up in these houses of God built by human hands, convincing each other that we are God's people. We're all saved with this, that, and other. Yet whole piles of people never had Jesus revealed and never became a follower. You see, in society today, I listened to it again right there on TV the other day. A guy wanted to pray the prayer over the TV screen and then have you call in and get your Bible sent. Telling everybody, if you just prayed this prayer, you're now saved. You're now born again. Praying a prayer does not make you saved and born again. The sinner's prayer is not even in the Bible. There's no such thing as a sinner's prayer. The only sinner's prayer you'll find in the Bible is where two guys are standing up there praying. One's standing there beating his chest, telling God how great he is. And there's another standing in the corner going, oh, God, how wretched I am. That's a sinner's prayer. God, I'm a mess. I'm wretched. I need help. I need forgiveness. That's a sinner's prayer, not Romans 10, 9, and 10, that if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, God raised him from the dead, then you'll be saved. That's not a prayer, that's a fact. How will you believe unless you know? You're not going to believe because of somebody else's story, but somebody else's story may get you where you want to believe. But you're going to have to seek, you're going to have to ask, and you're going to have to knock. That's why whether you're the craziest televangelist in the world, or you're sitting in the midst of the absolute frozen chosen, if the gospel message is preached and somebody seeks, they will find. That's what the Bible says. It's not about the group. It's about the gospel message that sets the stage for the revealing of Jesus. Then you get to answer the true question. Do I want to be a follower of Christ? Because the way we preach it nowadays is, do you want to go to heaven? That's not the question. The question is, do you want to be a follower of Christ? But because of the way we do it, it becomes really hard and really confusing. How do I be you and be me at the same time? How many of y'all know very many pastors that act like me? That's why I don't like you calling me pastor, because I don't want to act like them either. I'm just me. sit. Therefore, I want to encourage you to just be you. But you have to decide if I can be me and be a follower of Jesus. Yes, you can. And if you are, then your life will point to the revealing of Jesus. You see, it's for the church to evangelize the world, not just by simply standing on a corner and telling the gospel message and promoting heaven over hell, but the revealing. What do you do? What do you have to offer in your everyday life that would let somebody know that Jesus is alive and Jesus is for real? Ask yourself that right now, just to yourself. What do I have in my life? Because he says right here, he says, "Where the members of the household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles, the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone." If there's a rock anywhere in this, it's Jesus and not Peter. The foundation is on the absolute revealing of Jesus Christ. That's the church. And when Jesus Christ is your chief cornerstone, then when the torrent comes, not if, when, your house is built on the rock, it will not be destroyed. When you are the righteous of God, then no weapon, according to Isaiah 54, no weapon formed against you will prevail. And you will refute every tongue that comes against you, because that is the heritage of the righteousness of God. All who are born again in Jesus Christ are the righteousness of God. Offspring, the trees of his, the field of his planting, the household, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Listen to that. I mean, that is so good. You're growing into the temple, into the Lord, in whom you're being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. So it's your house. We have two living stones at our house. It's a dwelling place of God. I don't have to go anywhere else. I don't have to tune into anything else. He's with us. What's wrong with that? I mean, it's almost so simple. It's like, oh, God, surely it's got to be harder than this. 1 Peter chapter 2 says, you, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, built on the rock. Not Peter, Jesus. The revealing of Jesus. Now watch what happens here. Go over to Acts chapter 3. This is where I was going tonight. I told Robin, we've been busy, busy. Yesterday I was tired, I couldn't even think. I mean, listen, I was too tired to go to the lake. We were supposed to go to the lake yesterday and rest, and I was too tired to go rest. And so last night we laid down, and I said, oh, I hope the Lord tells me where to go. I hadn't even thought about Wednesday night yet. I'm just being honest with you so you know that I hadn't mislabored for the last 7 days wondering what to teach y'all. So while I was laying in bed, the Lord spoke to me, and he said, hey, Tell them about John and Peter in Acts 3. Tell them about that one. That's a good one. You'll do real good with that one. Tell them that one. I didn't know till this morning when I got that little nudge by text message this morning that I need to fix myself. that I realized all of a sudden, whoa, wait a minute. That's the revealing power of Jesus. That goes perfect with Acts. Well, Lord, thank you. This will be the full meal deal again tonight. So look here. And you know what's really cool when God puts this stuff together? You don't have to work at it. I try to make it harder than it is. I try to sound smarter than I am. I try. It's really stupid. You should just tell it like it's read and let God do his thing. And it's really not hard at all. And he says right here, watch this, chapter 3 of Acts. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. So for this guy's entire life, every time religious people began to show up, he placed himself, got people to put him in a spot where he could get money. Where he could get money. Now, I don't know if I'll ever do it or not. And I've done it. I hadn't felt like it lately, but like when you go down Meridian Street there in Oklahoma City, we stay in a motel there three times a year. Oh, buddy, I'm telling you, I don't know where they sell them signs, because they're all printed out real nice with them magic markers, and they all got them nice cardboard signs, and you know, and one of them that it say one thing, one says another. I ought to just take off. Well, I might do it one of these days if the Lord nudges. Now he probably will be, since I said it. I'll just take off walking down through there someday and just start praying for him. I'm telling you, there's one stays right there in front of our motel. He's goofing a stomped ant now. He's in the spirit world. You can tell, because he's extremely spiritual, because every time I go by there, he's talking to people I can't see. And some of them he's really upset with. He's just, maybe I'll just go by there and pray with him. They all want money. They all want a little money. This guy, why would he need money? Because he's crippled. So is being crippled your situation or your excuse? Which one is it? Because I think the church today has way more excuses than they do anything else. 9 million reasons why you can't. Jesus is the reason why you can. Do you know the words "I can't" aren't even in the Bible dictionary? It translates in English into "I won't." He says right here, look at this. I love this part right here. And he's asking for the money. And then fixing his eyes on him. Or no, he says, and so who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms, and fixing his eyes on him with John and Peter, said, look at us. Look at us. I don't want to go any further than that right now. When's the last time you gathered somebody up who needed prayer, had a problem, or maybe they just whining? You know, people just do a lot of whining sometimes. When's the last time you gathered one of them up instead of bow your head? Hey, look here. Look me in the eye. Look at me. You want to know who you're dealing with? You better look them in the eye. Their shoes are not a window to the heart. Their eye is. But it takes a man with enough faith and confidence to call a man up and say, look me in the eye. Look at me. Now look at me. How many of y'all ever did that with your children? Look at me. Oh, I hated that part. I knew what come next. You look at me. John and Peter took authority over the situation and said, look at me. So he gave them his attention. expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the hand, and he began to walk. His ankles were healed up. He was a testimony to everybody around. And Jesus was revealed to a man who was crippled, because two guys this time didn't do their good deed for the day and throw him $2. You do realize that the minimum that we give people in our efforts to do good deeds sometimes is more about making us feel good than it is actually meeting their needs. You see, money won't fix anybody's excuse. It's extremely peaceful in here tonight. Money won't fix anybody's excuse. Yep. I got a good friend sitting back there with one arm. Got a jacket thrown over it because it's cold. Carlos, you were one of our first customers around here a long time ago. Working on a truck and the drive shaft, got a hold of it and jerked his arm off. Isn't that right? Yep. Had a lot of chance to lay down and have a pity party too. Tried it a couple times, didn't you? Get up and walk. How many times have we talked about that over the last 20 years? Get up and walk. He can mow more grass one-handed than most high school kids can the whole family on a riding lawnmower. It's hard not to let it be your excuse. But Jesus will reveal himself, won't he? There you go. There you go. That's what it's all about. Silver or gold I don't have. What I have, I'll now give you. Get up and walk. It's easy to fall into trap. You know the trap I fell into? If I'd give somebody with an excuse some money, they'd go away. Let's just have confession. Most of you don't have to have that confession because you hadn't done anything with anybody anyhow. But when you're the pastor of the cowboy church, you have this reputation for being extremely generous. After a little while, you just get tired of hearing it. You get tired of the excuses, and you get tired of everybody wanting their bills paid, and you get tired of lazy, and you get tired of stupid, and you get tired of all of it. If you're not careful, pretty soon, not only do you get stingy with the stuff that comes from man, but you haven't offered what you received from God. I'm just having confession. I don't expect any of y'all to know any part of this. Y'all are better than that. Me, not so much. If you're not careful here in a minute, you get tired of the excuses. And here in a minute, you just get tired of fooling with it. Some days it just gets overwhelming. You just don't want to do it anymore. I did it last night. And my grandson told me not to. But there's a lady that got my number. She was in Lubbock. You could tell. You can tell in a minute. You can tell we're having a disaster. It's an emergency. You know, it's always an emergency. But she was quoting the phone number that somebody else had given her the phone. You tell this whole scenario. She's got a guy who's got a phone, and she's using his phone to call me, and she's reciting the phone number over the message that the guy's telling her. So this whole situation is a crummy situation. I could about write the whole chapter of the book. Therefore, knowing all that I know, I didn't do anything till this morning. Well, by the time I called this morning, the guy's not with her anymore, however that works. My number comes up on his phone. He's probably pretty sure it's somebody going to disconnect something, throw him in jail or do something, so he ain't going to answer it. So I lost contact. Do you know what Ryder J told me sitting there last night, Dad? Papa, you should call her. What if it's really an emergency? I'm too smart for that. You see, playing church done got me where I'm a little cold-hearted sometimes. You see, that's what happens, and I know what happens to preachers because a lot's expected. You're the phone number they all call. I got people in this group that'll call me to do things that's none of my business, put me in the hardest situations there is. I hope some of them are listening tonight that ain't here. I get tired of that. I'm just telling you. I'm not your John. I'm just a guy up here sharing with you every week to encourage you to go do your thing. But because of man-made church, this is how it all turns out. So a man-made church will only give what man has to give. And pretty soon you get fed up with the whole deal because it really doesn't work. You threw money in an excuse, and it didn't fix the excuse. Nobody got healed. Nobody walked. Nobody changed. But I feel better. We helped them. Really. God's never given me money. God's given me the intelligence to make some, the intelligence to keep some. There's not a magic formula for money. That's a Ponzi scheme of religion. There's no magic formula for money. You want money, put your head down, your hind end up, and go to work. When you get done working, they'll pay you. Whatever they pay you, try to live less than live on less than what you got. And keep the leftovers for a little while so you don't have to call me at the very last minute while they're turning your electric off. That always slays me. You got 11 days to get your electric paid. They'll call me while the truck is in the yard. It's an emergency. But man wants what man has to offer. That Peter that had Jesus revealed, he's standing there with John. Well, the guy's been begging for money his entire life. He said, look at me. I don't have no money. I got something better. What I have, I'm going to give you. Now get up and walk. He looked him in the eye. He grabbed him by the hand. And he got up and walked. The other thing I want you to realize, that happened outside the temple, not in. That was out on the porch where the deacons had been smoking cigarettes. Outside. Now my question is a little bit of money and a little fellowship all we have to offer? Is this it? Well, I got a friend, and I think he wants to know about Jesus. I'm going to bring him to church. You don't have anything to offer? Hey, my Aunt Betsy's sick. Would you pray for her? You don't know how to pray. You don't know Scripture for different situations going on in everybody's life? You don't believe in the healing power of God that you could actually just speak it and it would happen? everything in your workplace is total chaos, and you don't have the peace of Jerusalem to share with those around you? You don't possess an atmosphere that will overrule all atmospheres? You're surrounded by negative talkers and backbiters and yik-yakers, and you got nothing positive to say? What did Jesus give you?
Well, that concludes this segment in our message. Come join us 7:30 Wednesday nights at 710 East American Boulevard in Muleshoe, Texas. Or on the web, www.muleshoefellowship.org. We're on YouTube as Muleshoe Fellowship. And for Steve and everyone at Muleshoe Fellowship, God bless.